come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is influence. Each of my guests will discuss a particular aspect of influencing others. My next guest is a former trainer of hostage negotiators for the FBI. He returns to the show to share his findings on what it takes to influence others. We'll examine his latest book on the subject, Real Influence. Dr. Mark Goulston is a psychologist. He is a consultant, business coach, and author of the book, Real Influence, Persuade Without Pushing and Gain Without Giving In. The Consumers Research Council of America named him one of America's top psychiatrists in 2011, 2009, 2005, and 2004. He writes a leadership column for Fast Company and the Solve Anything with Dr. Mark career advice column for the Tribune Media Services. Joining us from Southern California. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I am wonderful. So what happened? They didn't nominate me between those years at that place.
I was going to ask you about the missing years there, but congratulations on the accolades that you have won. Now, your new book, Real Influence, Persuade Without Pushing and Gain Without Giving In, you wrote that with John Ullman, your co-author on that. I found it an interesting study and very topical given everything that's going on in the news today. But when you think of influential leaders, certain people pop to mind. Our parents, for one, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, even Ronald Reagan in more recent times. We know influential people by our reaction to them and, of course, by their accomplishments. But what makes a leader or what makes any person influential?
I think in the moment that they're being influential, because we're often finding out some personal stuff about all those people, but in the moment that they're being influential, they seem very present, focused on a mission beyond themselves that will help other people. And actually, when you think of Bill Clinton, and you think of the Democratic National Convention, that was an amazing speech. And I think what makes Bill Clinton influential is he seems prepared, so it doesn't seem like a scripted kind of talk. And he's just so knowledgeable that he can do that. He seems emotionally present as opposed to checked out, unfortunately, the way Romney seemed to appear. And he seems unflappable. And I think those qualities help people to be very influential. But in our book, Real Influence, one of the reasons we wrote it is we think my co-author, John Ullman, who teaches at the Anderson School, we think we're in a post-selling, post-pushing world, and that people don't like to be sold, don't like to be pushed. And we think the reason is that when the economy was better, you know, people push you, but more people could laugh their way to the bank and shrug it off. But now when people push and try and sell, it triggers flashbacks in people of having been sold before and having what they were sold go south.
Now, Mark, that brings up a very interesting distinction, because too often we associate influence with manipulation, a deception, hard-selling approaches. So differentiate between real influence and manipulation and authentic leadership.
Well, it's interesting, because you're right. There are a number of books on influence, and the Gold Standard is a wonderful book by Robert Cialdini on influence, and it's a great read, and I'd recommend it. But really what that's about is if you press all these buttons, you will influence people. But it is really more about manipulation and maneuvering people to your ends, to your needs. And so we make a distinction between disconnected influence, which means it's not connected to what's in the best interest of the other person. It's all about you. And connected influence, in which you really, one of the things we talk about in the book, is you really go from your agenda to their agenda. And we talk about that is how do you let go of being in your here, YOURHERE, how do you let go of it completely and totally immerse yourself in going to their, THEIR, THERE. And I can tell you that when we've talked to people, many of the people we spoke to, former CEO of Costco, Patagonia, great people, and they mainly spoke about who influenced them. And I think for our listeners and for you and me, Bill, I think if we think of the people who most influenced us, I think one of the qualities they had when they were influencing us is they were supremely unselfish. And something about us caused us to lean into them, to trust them. And what's interesting is real influence can last a lifetime, but manipulative persuasion sometimes doesn't even last through the conversation.
No, it leads to buyer's remorse in many cases. My guest is Mark Goulston. Mark, central to the theme of the book is this you're here and they're there syndrome that you just talked about, which I think is critical. You call it in the book our blind spot. So what is the blind spot in our brains that comes in real influence, and how do we overcome that blind spot?
Well, I think there's all kinds of psychological and neurological explanations for a blind spot. But if you think of it this way, if you're driving down the highway and you're checking your mirrors and you think everything is fine, and then suddenly you almost take out a motorcyclist, and you didn't see the motorcyclist, and but you could have hurt them. And so what we think of is that when we're stuck in our own blind spot, in our own agenda, in our own how can I get my needs met and the heck with them, we often don't see the other person, and depending on our values, we can hurt the other person. And given this day and age of being in a post-selling, post-pushing world, you hurt people, they don't get buyer's remorse. They get buyer's revenge. They go on the internet and they tell everyone.
That is true. Things like Yelp and other services out there certainly give the consumer their voice. So it's central to that is the you're here and they're there syndrome. How do we overcome it? How do we get beyond the old paradigm, Mark?
Well, after interviewing over 100 influential people who largely told us about people who influenced them, we distilled 4 steps, and these 4 steps are also the antidote to selfishness when you think about them. And the 4 steps are, the first one is go for a great outcome. And what that means is when you're having a conversation with someone, listen deeply into their fears, their hopes, their dreams, and when you know you've reached a great outcome, when they pause, they look up at the ceiling, they play over what both of you have talked over, and then they look back at you, they smile, and they say, "Do you think I really could do that?" And we've done this many times, and when people, and they smile because you've taken the conversation from a transaction to something that's much more. And I can just think of several people when they said, "Do you think I could do this? Do you think my company could do that?" And I said, "Well, do you like it?" And they said, "I love it. You think we could do it?" So going for a great outcome is very unselfish and magnanimous. The second thing is you got to see past your blind spots, because what happens in a transactional world is after you've been incredibly generous to someone else, you have a tendency to want to get something for you, and you do a bait and switch. And I will tell you, if you take a conversation to something that is so generous and magnanimous for the other person, and then you try to upsell you, it's worse than if you hadn't reached for a great outcome at all, because they really feel manipulated. The third thing is, so be aware of your blind spots and don't give in to them. Your ego-driven blind spots. And the third step is engage them in there, and we talked about that. And the way to go to someone's there is what the other person's there is composed of is when they say to themselves after they're speaking to you, "Gee, you get it. You get the situation. Gee, you get me in the situation." And the third thing is, "You get where I could be, and even a solution how to get there." So we call that the 3 gets of getting there. And then the final step is when you've done enough, do more. Mediocrity is the new good. And so before you meet with someone, try to be prepared. And don't be prepared so much about what you want from them, be prepared about what might be important to them and how to open them up to what's important to them. Do more when you're with them. So when you're in the conversation, listen more than you talk. Be more interested than interesting. And then afterwards, do more than they expect. One of my greatest enjoyments now is I love to connect people, and offline I'm going to connect you, Bill, with some people, and I seem to be connecting people core values to core values, and I'm getting a little bit better even connecting people business opportunity to business opportunity. And I do that. I make an introduction every day, and then a week or two later I nag them. Did you connect? You know, because I have ADD, and if you didn't connect, I may not nag you again. And so those four steps, if you think about them, are very anti-selfish. Go for great outcomes. Recognize your own selfish blind spots. Don't give in to them. Really go to them. Get into their there. And then finally, do more than they expect. Exceed their expectations wildly.
My guest is Mark Goulston. He's author of the new book, Real Influence, Persuade Without Pushing and Gain Without Giving In. So, Mark, I'm going to throw some names at you now. This is where the rubber meets the road. I want to talk about some real-world examples of people who did or perhaps didn't have real influence. And I'm going to start with John Boehner, which is ripped from the headlines, and his Plan B that failed in the House of Representatives. Now, here's the guy who was the Speaker of the House, figured he's probably got some influence, if for no other reason, by his title, and yet he couldn't push his own agenda through. How did he fail in his real influence?
I think with Boehner, and I think this was the problem of Romney also, is there's a saying, you don't care how much people know until you know how much they care. And I think Boehner's demeanor, and actually to a lesser extent Romney, because I think Romney comes off nicer than Boehner, is what he doesn't realize is he triggers flashbacks in people of stern, critical fathers, stones you can't get water from. And so what he doesn't realize is when he triggers those reactions inside people, you don't want to make him successful. You don't want to help him because he's triggering down deep the memory of people who were mean to you. And so I think what happened is he didn't get out of his "you're here." He doesn't see past his blind spots.
All right.
And
go on, Mark.
No, he doesn't see past his blind spots, and so what happens is, I think the experience of other people is, he seems to care more about being right than about caring about us. And I think part of it, and this is one of the problems in the lack of authenticity world, is that when people speak from their head instead of their heart, there's kind of a disconnect in us. So we feel that there's a saying that too often the mind corrupts what the heart knows to be true.
Very profound. All right, Mark, let's switch gears and let's go to somebody who is looked at in a different light, and that's the late Steve Jobs. Now, he was the CEO of Apple, not once, but twice. And let's face it, he was not necessarily a nice guy, and yet he really propelled not only his own company, but the industry and ultimately the world to new heights. Talk to me about his influence and what made him different.
Well, what was spectacular about Steve Jobs is the great outcome. What happened, I believe, beginning of Apple's rise, is he could see into the future way beyond everyone. And I think what he saw is computers are not going away soon. They're really ugly, they're complicated, and they're unreliable. If we can make something simple, reliable, and beautiful, people are going to be the path to our door. So he defined such a great outcome that people, well, overlooked or didn't totally react to his what seemed to be his ego. It's a little bit like, I think what he saw in Apple in the future is very similar to JFK saying, by the end of the decade, we're going to put people on the moon and get them safely back to the Earth. That was something that caused aerospace engineers to cooperate. A lot of aerospace engineers are kind of like cowboys. And so I think the main thing is that great outcome was so amazing that we overlooked, forgave, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, he influenced us because that was an amazing outcome.
That it was. Mark, in your book, Real Influence, really throughout the book, you highlight people that you call power influencers. And among the influencers that you spotlight in the book, which one stands out in your mind as your favorite and why?
Well, this is maybe too up close and personal, but what the heck. I think one of the reasons I wrote the book and the most powerful influencer to me was someone who influenced me. One of my greatest accomplishments, personal accomplishments, and I don't know anyone who has done this, is I dropped out of medical school twice and finished. And I didn't drop out to see the world. My mind stopped. And the medical school wanted to kick me out because I was a bad investment. And if I was thinking about finances and losing matching funds, I would have kicked me out too. But the dean of students saw something in me that I didn't see. He believed in me when I didn't. And he stood up for me when I couldn't. He arranged an appeal. And he was a PhD, and the appeal was to a committee of all medical doctors, heads of hospitals. And he took me aside, and this was a low point in my life. And he said to me, he said, you know, Mark, you're not screwed up, meaning you're passing, but you are screwed up. But if you got unscrewed up, I think this school would one day be glad they gave you a second chance. And I came from a background that didn't have a lot of kindness, and so I started to tear up. I didn't know what to do with this kindness. And then he said, look at me. And he said, Mark, I'd be proud to know you even if you don't become a doctor, because you have goodness in you, and you have no idea how important that is to the world, and you won't know it until you're 35, but you have to make it to 35. And look at me, Mark. You deserve to be on this planet. Do you understand me? And it changed everything in my life, Bill. I mean, you can feel it in my voice now, and so I'm paying it forward, and that's one of the reasons another partner and I have started a global community called Heartfelt Leadership, and the mission is daring to care, even when everyone in the world tells you you're a fool if you do.
Well, that's very interesting. You're not alone in this Heartfelt Leadership. There are lots of people doing similar things. Talk to us about Heartfelt Leadership. Specifically, why did you choose to start it now?
Well, I think what happened is actually about a year and a half ago, I hit another wall. And what I realized is I don't have the best emotional boundaries, so I care about people. And I found myself caring about people who were selfish, greedy, power-driven, and caring about them depressed me. And yet I made a living because, you know, I've done a lot of things. I've been a hostage negotiator, trainer. So people would drop me in the middle of obnoxious people, and I would resolve things, and I had an epiphany. And you'll like this, and 100% of people tell me to repeat it. So if I have to, you tell me. What I realized is that conflict causes negativity far less than negative and controlling people create conflicts.
Wow.
And so what I told you you'd like it. And what would happen is I'd be drawn in to resolve something with negative and controlling people, and I get them to agree to something, but they were never satisfied. I don't even know if they followed through. I got paid. I wasn't satisfied. And I realized I have to work with people I root for. And you know, I think it had a cumulative effect. And so I met this wonderful woman, Deb Bolkus, who's the CEO of Business World Rising and Business Women Rising. and we had a conversation, and she was talking about being on a panel, and she's been very successful, and someone in the audience said about the guy next to her on the panel, "You lead from your head," and then this person looked at Deb and said, "You lead from your heart," and she said, "He was insulting," and she said, "I've been successful my whole life." And so when we were seated, we were talking about this, and I said, "Wait a minute," I put down two words, heartfelt leadership, and there was no book, there was no domain, there was really nothing, and I looked at her, and I said, "We could build this." And so that's what we've done, and we launched a heartfelt leadership LinkedIn group, and within 2 weeks, we had 530 members.
Wow.
And it's no selling, no self-promoting, and LinkedIn is very business-like. And so when you go there and you look at the discussions on LinkedIn, you'll see, and I manage the site, so I kick out any self-promotion or selling, and I tell people, geez, I love what you're doing. Have someone else promote it, because everyone, every member in this group has something to sell or promote, and we're keeping that side of everyone's personality out, and see if something heartfelt shows up. And it is. So
that is great. Cool. My guest has been Mark Goulston, co-author of the new book, Real Influence, Persuade Without Pushing and Gain Without Giving In. Mark, if people are intrigued by what they hear and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, or maybe learn more about heartfelt leadership, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
This is going to flip everything around influence, but we have a dedicated site called Get Real Influence, which doesn't sound influential at all. But if you go to getrealinfluence.com, you'll see, and it's a site in development. So down the road, there's already free sources and tips, and there'll be more coming down the road, because my partner in Real Influence, Dr. John Ullman, and I, this is a mission. We don't think influence is going away anytime soon, and we think persuasion has kind of reached a point of no returns. And then heartfelt leadership, if you're someone who dares to care, and you want to meet like-minded people, go to heartfeltleadership.com.
That is great. Mark, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for being a heartfelt interviewer.